Being the big vinyl lover that I am, I'm proud to tell you about Joe's Albums in their two locations. The original shop at 317 Main Street in downtown Worcester, Massachusetts, and their second location out in Western Mass at 5 Market Street, Northampton. Both of these shops are loaded with both new and used vinyl. It's hard to walk in either shop and walk out empty-handed due to their amazing collection of records and other cool goodies like t-shirts, mugs, posters, etc. If you can't find what you're looking for in the retail stores, check out their website, joesalbums.com. Thank you, Joe, for being so cool. Hello, my fellow rock and roll fans. Please consider supporting this podcast for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/twistedrico. Once again, that's patreon.com/twistedrico. Keep the rock and roll alive. Welcome to episode 303 of the Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. Very excited to have the extremely talented Devin Thompson back on the show today. We started you off with the song Straitjacket from Devin's fabulous new EP, Skin, and we talk about that and more in our conversation, which we'll play for you shortly, so stick around. You know, lots of things have certainly changed in the music industry in the last few years, and I'm not going to give you one of those "it used to be so much better" speeches. There are a lot of positive things happening. Being a young and up-and-coming artist might be hard, but there are so many options and ways to get your music out there than the old traditional way, which was try and get a buzz, try and get a record deal, try and get radio airplay, maybe get a review in a magazine like Rolling Stone and Spin. If you're a young or even older artist and you can navigate through social media and get your songs on streaming platforms, along with, say, a video on YouTube, you really never know what will happen. And sometimes things go viral, and next thing you know, you have a buzz. It's not much different than the crapshoot of the 80s and 90s. But one thing that hasn't changed is that it actually still is a crapshoot. What I personally like about it is that the songwriter, the artist, the band, whoever, have more control over their careers than ever before. Even if it means regional success or getting booked on a podcast like this one, we're actually in the same boat and trying to do the same things as up-and-coming bands are doing. It's all about the buzz. And sometimes some of our podcasts episodes get a buzz. Yes, we pay attention to the analytics of it all as much as you do. So what can we expect moving forward? There are a lot of shows and tours coming this summer. And even right now, you can see like two or three really good shows a week if you want to. It seems like every band at every level is doing some kind of a reunion show these days. And this is not a bad thing. The more the merrier, that's what I say. One thing that is really inspiring that is happening is that vinyl sales was the most popular physical medium in the U.S. for the first time since the Reagan administration. That goes back to like 1988. Okay, that's a long time ago. The site Fast Company dropped five interesting stats on us in the recent article entitled Five Trends That Will Define the Music Industry in 2024. I'm going to go over these trends with you. Number one, 103,500 tracks uploaded daily to streaming services. That's 103,500. That's a lot. That's daily. This is according to Luminate, who said that the number rose from 93,400 in 2022 all the way up to 103,500. That's a significant amount of tracks per day. Now the next trend needs to find a way to pay artists more. And I think that's eventually going to have to happen because artists are pissed. Number two, 6.8 million vinyl records sold directly by artists. Directly by artists. No distributor, directly by artists. That's good. How can we not be happy about this? Every independent artist that finds a way to do even a limited pressing will make their money back as long as they can get their fan base to get on board. Personally, vinyl sounds better and is better. It's just my opinion. And I know there's people that agree. Number three, one out of every 78 streams Taylor Swift's share of the U.S. audio streams. One out of every 78 is Taylor's share, is basically what that means. This is what Fast Company said about this. It's a singular achievement driven by her savvy strategy of re-recording and releasing her albums as Taylor versions. But elements of the Swift 2023 playbook are being studied across the industry, and it should be, with the movie theater as concert venue top of mind. It just wasn't Swift that saw big screen success in 2023. Beyonce's Renaissance film took in more than $43 million at the global box office, and A24's release of the 40-year-old Talking Heads concert film Haven't seen that yet. I got to see that. Stop Making Sense has surpassed 6 million. Crazy. Okay, number four, 18% U.S. music listeners are superfans. What does that mean? Luminate defines superfans as listeners who engage with artists and their content in five or more ways, which it's by streaming their music, following them on social media, buying albums, buying merch, or purchasing concert tickets. Are you a super fan? I'm not sure I do all. Yeah, I think I probably do all five of those things. So I am a super fan. You should be too. Number five is really interesting. 60% growth of regional Mexican music in the U.S. Spanish language music grew more than 24.1% in the U.S. last year. It now accounts for 8.1% of U.S. music streams, and six Latin music artists drew upwards of 1 billion streams. Bad Bunny, Karol G, Junior H, Fraser Regatta, Pesco Pluma, and Esteban Armando. This is really incredible, and it's good for the music business. There you have it. Reasons to be optimistic. And regardless of whether you're on board with any of this or not, if you are listening to the podcast, you are in fact engaging right now. So go out and listen to our guest's music now, Devin Thompson, and start following her on social media and maybe even buy some of her songs for a buck. Then you are being close to being a super fan. That's right. We want you all to be super fans. Hey, we think Devin Thompson is one of the best, perhaps slightly below the radar songwriters and musicians out there, period. The below the radar part could be changing as Devin's songwriting and playing get better and more people notice by the day. Gibson Guitars has definitely taken notice and recently featured Devin on their Instagram page, which has 2.1 million followers. So you know that's getting a lot of attention. We spoke to Devin just as the new EP, her new EP, Skin, was being released on March 29th. And here is our conversation. Enjoy. Welcome, YouTube viewers. This is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. If you want to hear this entire show with intros, outros, and music, please go to Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, etc. Please welcome back to the show, Devin Thompson.
Hi, guys.
It's great to have you back. You've been really busy since we spoke in January. You have a new EP out, which we'll talk about. And this is really, really was great news that I saw for you. You were featured on Gibson Guitars' Instagram page, which has 2.9 million followers on that page. That is fantastic.
It was awesome.
Were you surprised or did you know it was happening?
No, I knew it was happening, but like I was more so surprised that they had me as a part of their spotlight program because they have so many artists that they could have chosen. And they only chose me out of the 18, you know, for the year. So I think that's pretty cool. So yeah, they gave me, this was my time now to, you know, put it out there and such. So I'm really stoked. I think it's really cool.
I don't know if I asked you much about Gibson last time, but can you tell us how the whole Gibson thing came together?
Yeah. My manager was like talking to a friend of his and they like knew some people at the showroom. They're like, oh, well, we could just go visit the showroom for a day. Like, we know some people there and we went in the showroom and they started playing and then I was just talking to them and they just really liked me. They liked my vibe. They liked all of it. So they were like, you know, we should work together.
Was that in LA?
Yeah, it was.
Where are they based in LA?
They're on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. So it was almost like love at first sight, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was so cool. It was so cool.
And you play all Gibsons, right?
Yeah. At the moment, I'm playing all Gibsons. So it's really cool. It's really awesome.
Those hollow bodies you use, those are Gibsons too?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember we talked about the guitars a little bit last time. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Congratulations, because that's
a big
company. And to have them behind you, it's great.
Thank you. I know. It's super cool.
What about your shows? Because you've played quite a bit of shows since I last spoke to you. How have those been going for you?
They've been great. I've just been, like, you know, honing in my craft and figuring out, like, the best you know, how to do it, like just how to do it, like how to really like hone in my show and make it entertaining for everyone. So I think I've really done a really good job of that. And we had a really good turnout at the EP release, which was sold out actually, which is so cool.
Where was that?
The Gibson Showroom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, great. It was super cool.
Do you do a lot of clubs too? Or are you doing like alternative kind of venues?
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything. Like I'm playing at the Venice West on April 11th. And that's in Venice. That's like a club sort of vibe. And then I'm playing on the 27th for the opening for the Mission UK. And that's at the Viper Room. Yeah, that's at the Viper Room. And then the next day I play at the Bourbon Room. So yeah, like all those types of venues.
I saw the Mission UK years ago in Amsterdam. That's very goth kind of. You like to, you consider yourself partly goth, right?
I'm part goth. My music's not goth, but I am. So yeah, absolutely. I've been able to fit into the goth world so easily as an opener. I opened for, you know, Clan of Zymox, and like the crowd loved me there. And I've opened for a couple other goth bands, and like the crowd just always loves me for some reason. And I think I'm goth at heart. So it's like,
you've got the dark songs too, so you know the darkness is happening.
For sure, yeah.
So you recorded Skin in both Nashville and Los Angeles, and I noticed that you worked with different co-writers. How did you come up with that plan with the different writers, and are you happy with the results of what it's like actually writing with someone else?
Well, we didn't come up with a plan or anything like that. We just wrote and just did things. We were not like aiming towards writing songs for an EP. We were just writing songs. They ended up being a collection, sort of. Those songs kind of came one after the other. Mm-hmm. So they sort of became a collection. And it all just worked out so well, honestly. And I love writing with other people. I think that's where so many of my great ideas have come from, is inspiration from other like-minded, like, you know, cynical people, sort of.
How did you meet the people you wrote with? Did you just know them from the scene?
With my producer, he knew someone in Nashville, which is where we went and recorded Poison Me and So Close. And we wrote with him, and he helped write some of those songs. So we were like all, like I'd say like 33% all songwriting. So it was really cool. And then also one of my producer's friends from Sweden has helped contribute to a couple of the songs, which is really sick. And then on one of the songs on Straight Jacket, I met someone from this, his name is Nick Kivlin, and he is in the band Sunflower Bean. I don't know if you know who they are.
I don't. Are they a Nashville band?
No, they're a New York based band. I wrote that song with him, and then also with my current producer as well. So I'm writing a lot with Nick right now. So I write with a bunch of different people, but I keep my circle very, very tight knit. I don't like branch out that much.
So do you write all the lyrics and you go with them to work on the music part of it?
I write 85% of the lyrics, and I write a lot of the songs. I think that like Straight Jacket was my idea that came up in 2021, and then I rewrote it with James, and then I rewrote it with Nick, and then I rewrote it again with James, and then but some of the songs like She's a Devil was 100% written by me. And also like I Love You But It Hurts, like how most of that song, like the verses and the choruses, like that was all my formulation, you know, and So Close as well.
I'm going to get into a little more about the songs in a minute, but I wanted to, there was a quote that I saw that you said that you have a soft, lovely, angelic side, but that rest of you is very dark, pessimistic, and even hedonistic. I like that. Can you elaborate on the dark and also the hedonistic side of you and how it relates to your songwriting?
Yeah, I think that is a big part of like, especially with the state of the climate of the world, I think right now a lot of people are feeling like that. So I feel like I'm just kind of harping on that. I'm picking up on people's emotions, and I'm picking up on like my emotions, obviously, and everything. So I feel like that is it's just how I feel. Like, it's just how I've always viewed things. I came from like a very bullied like school experience. So I think I have a little bit of like a, I don't trust a lot of people sort of mindset. And especially living in like growing up in Hollywood, literally, like it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. It's very fake. So I think I've developed a very cynical like mindset. I think because of all that. And I think it relates to writing, especially like some of my inspirations, like, you know, Fiona Apple and the Smiths, like all their writing, stuff like that. It's really big on, I'm really big on that.
Are you talking more about your darker side when you, about your upbringing and your bullying and that?
Yeah.
Was that like public or private schools that you went to?
I went to both. I went to like a mix of both, and like the private schools were on scholarship for music. And then the public schools, obviously it's free. So, like a mix of both, and just, I never really fit in anywhere. I just don't really, I'm not a believer in like big establishments like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've just never been like that, which is why I'm so solo. And I hated the idea of school. I think the school is like imprisonment. I think that forcing kids to go to school from 8 to 3, 5 days a week for 13 years is ridiculous. It's like, it was the worst time in my life. I just think that I feel like there needs to be something better, there needs to be a better work-life balance.
Right.
That's what I think. Yeah, right. I think so. As someone who went through it, I don't think it was, it felt inhumane. It was horrible.
But it had a lot to do with your songwriting style.
It did. Yeah. Without it, I don't know if I'd be where I am right now. So there is the give and take of everything.
Do you ever like, you know, I can't say that I know if any of your songs are happy, but I'm not sure they are.
They're not.
Do you ever like try to write happy songs, or is that impossible for you?
I don't want to say it's impossible. I definitely do have some happy sounding songs, at least. I love writing songs that sound upbeat and sound very sweet, but they're not. I don't try to. I just don't. Like, I am very happy. Like, I have a lot to be thankful for in my life. But I think that my creative side is just very, very, like, it's just very troubled. And I think that art is dark. It can be very dark, you know? Like, I just went to the museum, and, like, all of the paintings are so, so dark. Like, past paintings, medieval, everything from, like, the 11th to the 19th century, it's so dark.
Do you do any art? Because you seem like you probably would be a painter or drawer.
I'm a really, really bad artist. I really wish I could paint. I can't. My mom can paint. She's so good. Like, she's amazing. And I cannot at all. It's so embarrassing. But I craft. So, like, you know, my merch, I don't know if I have any here. Like, I basically, what I do is, this is not like the best example, but like, these are teeth. And they're 3D printed, and I 3D print these teeth for my merch, and I turn them into earrings, and I put like little bows on them and stuff. So I craft because I cannot draw or paint.
If you're listening, people, you'll have to go on YouTube to see the teeth. They're pretty
the merch,
cool.
You can check out my merch on my website, because I design all my logos for my shirts. Those are all done by me. Everything is done by me. I just need to have control. I'm very controlling of my art. I don't know. It's very weird.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Before we talk more about the EP, like, you come from this generation that does single, single, single. Was that your plan all along, just to release singles before you get to the point where you want to do like this EP?
Kind of. Yeah. I kind of just wanted to see like if people were, you know, vibing with it, and if they liked it, and like, I wanted to build a follower base and a listenership before I dropped an EP, because to be real with you, like, EP or album is money. It's expensive to drop that stuff. It's expensive to support it. It's expensive to do all of it. So I wanted to have a solid base before, and now I feel like I'm starting to get somewhere. I just hit 8,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, and it's small compared to everything else, but it's a lot bigger than I was 6 months ago.
You have a great presence on social media. You use TikTok and Instagram and everything.
I do.
I mean, how much time do you actually spend on social media?
I spend a lot of time on social media. I feel like it's not that taxing on me because I'm so like I'm like drilled to do it, like a military sergeant. Like I am just like that's my job, and I don't hate it because I've always created content. Even when I was like 12 or like 10 years old, I was making home movies on my little camera and editing them and posting them on YouTube. So I've been doing this for so long. I had a YouTube channel in high school that I was bullied for because I did like tutorials, DIYs, creative stuff. I've been doing content creation for like 12 years. So this aspect is not hard. And I like building a follower base. I like getting more people to listen to my music. So I spend a ton of time. I spend hours a day doing it, but I don't care. I like it.
I like what you do. I see a lot of your stuff on TikTok, especially.
I post a lot.
Didn't you tell me that you did a little acting when you were younger?
I still act. I don't do it a lot, but I do act. Yeah, I did a lot of acting when I was younger. I worked with ABC and DreamWorks, and I tested for the Disney. There's a Disney show called Bizardvark. That was actually the show that Olivia Rodrigo like got her start on. I was supposed to be her co-star. And I'm still friends with her and Madison because we like grew up together from doing that. But it was between like literally me and her co-star. So like I was going to be a Disney kid, but I'm kind of way happier with the path I've taken now.
So you got to know Olivia Rodrigo when you were younger.
Yeah, we like, again, everything got so busy, but we hung out like in 2022, like right before she dropped Driver's License, that one song. We hung out and we went out to go get coffee, went to the bookstore.
Really?
And yeah, again, since like, I mean, like it's kind of insane now, so we don't really hang out, but
She was just here last night, actually. I didn't go to the show, but she was just here.
Oh,
she's got
really?
A big tour going on right now.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Super cool. Yeah, really cool stuff. Really sick. Yeah, super awesome. Really happy for her.
Is there anything you've done recently with acting that you want to talk about, or is it small?
I mean, my music videos are kind of where I act now, which is kind of the way I want it to be. And I'm like, the more I develop, the more I add more and more acting into my videos, which I kind of love because I really do miss it.
Yeah, your videos are great. We're going to talk about that. You describe your EP as fairy tales versus nightmares. You also said that the EP is a bipolar roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah.
I love your quotes. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So like a lot of the songs are taken from fairy tales or like stories that I make up. So like Poison Me is the Snow White tale, but we rewrote it so that it was like she wanted to bite the apple so she could go to sleep so that no one will deal with, so she doesn't have to deal with anyone anymore. So there's the dark side of that because Disney has such a dark side. And I thought that was so interesting. So I kind of like harped on that a little bit. And then all the other songs are, you know, like So Close is a fictional story about a serial killer gone crazy and, you know, kills her lover, you know, whatever you want it to be, because they just thought it would be great and thought the flowers would look nice. They just went crazy. So a lot of themes in this, but they all derive from stories that have happened in my life.
You're a great songwriter. I love your
Thank
songs.
You.
Straightjacket, you mentioned it briefly. Tell us more about that song. That's a very interesting song.
Yeah. So that song is probably like my favorite song I've ever made.
Really? Ever?
I love that song. I think it's supposed to make you feel a little crazy and like, you know, sort of like teetering over the edge, like nail biting. Sort of like, I don't know, craziness. And I really like it. And I think that it's gone through so many phases and I'm just very proud of it. And I really think it's gotten the most playlist recognition so far too. So that's kind of like, that's really awesome as well. I just really love that song. I think it's so weird and cool.
You mentioned Poison Me and I was going to ask you more about that song. You said it's the opposite of, explain that Cinderella part of the song to me again.
Yeah, so it's actually Snow White and
Snow White, sorry.
yeah, no, you're good. They all blend together. So she like for Poison Me, we wanted to do this saccharine sweet but with a dark melody fairy tale. Like so basically I love like mystical forest fairy. I like grew up on Lord of the Rings, so like that's like my favorite thing ever. And I wanted to do something dark with the Disney story. So I turned it into, yeah, Snow White. I just thought it was so cool.
The dark
And
version of Snow
yeah,
White.
where she wanted a bite and she wanted, she was like, give me the apple, thank you. Like crazy, crazy dark like queen. I would love that because I'm tired of everyone. I want to go to sleep. So I thought that was great.
The first single from the EP, I Love You, But It Hurts Like Hell, had just come out last time I talked to you. Now the video has over 110,000 views last time I looked on
Yeah.
YouTube. It seems to be catching on. You got to feel
It
good
does.
about that.
It got a big spike for some reason on everything. It was added by the head of rock at Apple Music to one of their playlists, and she still hasn't taken it off, which is so cool. It was added to that. It's also had a radio or autoplay spike on Apple on Spotify, which it's like means that the algorithm's catching on to that song specifically. I don't know if it has to do with the fact that the video's catching on as well, but I promote that song the least too, which is so funny. I do not promote that song because it just doesn't do as well online, but it does well on the streaming platforms for some reason.
The whole playlist thing, how does it work? Because I'm just curious that do people really pay attention to a lot of playlists?
Yeah, that is the number one reason why I've grown my listenership. Like, honestly, it's the biggest thing for music discovery. I don't think that it's the biggest thing for building supportive fan bases. I do think that it's great for music discovery, though, because my listeners on Apple Music have tripled from being on three playlists now. That all my songs are currently on.
Yeah, you like Apple a lot. You talked about that last time.
I do. I think they're very accessible. I think Spotify like is really hard to get to unless you're with a label. So I'm not with a label, and like I think that Apple Music has really made an upper has really like put up and coming artists first, and I really appreciate that.
Do you create a lot of your own playlists as well?
Not really. I'm not really a playlister. I just listen to shit. Like I just listen to music, and I don't really put together anything just because I use Apple Music and Spotify. I use two different platforms. So
You
I don't
like
know
Apple
why.
better.
I can't say I do or I don't. I love both of them. I think that Spotify offers a very unique thing that Apple Music doesn't, but I think that Apple Music is also a lot easier to navigate for me.
What's the unique thing that you're referring to?
It's personalized for you. So, like, if you have a song playing and then it's done, it will play another song like it. So you can keep discovering new music.
Algorithm.
That's so cool. It's a social media, basically. And I don't think Apple Music is like that, but I also think that it's very easy to use. And it's my number one platform. So.
That's cool. I'm a huge PJ Harvey fan, and you've been compared to her, and I can definitely see that. Have you listened to a lot of PJ's Pauly
Yeah,
Jean
I have.
Harvey?
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan. I love her stuff. Really cool.
So is she like one of your favorites, or is it just that people keep comparing you to her?
She's not one of my favorites, but I do really like her and I'm a big fan. But she was not my music inspiration while making this.
Did you have an actual inspiration when you were doing these recent songs?
I have multiple inspirations. A lot of them are, I have two sides of it. Some of it is like I have like Fiona Apple and Mazzy Star, and then like some sort of like darker goth inspirations. But then I also have newer ones like Paramore is a big one for me, and Cage the Elephant and Lana Del Rey for her lyrics and her melodies. So those are some of my biggest influences for my writing.
It's pretty cool. I imagine you can appreciate the fact that women are getting more attention now. They're basically
Finally,
running the music business, if you ask
I
me.
mean, as they should. I really think that, like, and still, It's so hard to get female bands or female fronted anything to open for people. Like if it's a guy opener, it's definitely going to be, if it's a guy, like a dude who's like the headliner, it's going to be a boy band who's opening.
They're
it's
afraid.
literally always it's they are afraid. It's always been like that. I was just talking to a band recently. I'm like, what are you so scared of? Why? I was like, you're just gonna have another boy band opening for you. Why is that? They're like, politics. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, it's, I don't know. It's so weird, but there's still a big issue. Like, I think it's women still get just like shit on so much all the time, especially with guitar. You pick a guitar, you're already a target.
So it's a problem in Hollywood.
Yeah. It is. I would say it's not as much in Hollywood because everyone is doing something here. And I mostly feel like it's a problem for social media for everyone else in the country.
Last time you were on the show, you talked about a band, The Dinner Party. And
yeah.
A lot of people have asked me about them. They obviously liked your opinion. And I checked them out. I actually tagged them on a post and they appreciated that.
It's great. I love them. I think they're great. I think their themes are beautiful, like Victorian, like it's everything I am and I love. And I think it's fabulous. I think it's so cool.
Okay. So what else are you listening to? Because you definitely got people's attention with that, with The Dinner Party. I'm curious what else. Is there any newer bands or are you going back to Fiona Apple and all the, on the older?
You know, I'm actually just gonna go look right now at like my music and see.
Please
oh,
do.
I love Fontaines DC. They're a great band. I don't know if anyone's heard them. Sorry, really good. I love Hozier also. His new song is really good. I'm a big folk, bluegrass, country, Americana fan. And there's another artist, her name's Willow Avalon, who has just started, had kind of had like a viral song online, and I think that she's making really good old country type stuff. So there's that. There's let's see what else I have here. Ooh, obviously Caged Elephant. I also love, I think it's Chapel Roan. She's a queer pop princess, basically. Like, so good. I love good pop music. She's very unique. Also Tidal Fight. Big love that band. One of my favorite bands ever. So that's just kind of some of the stuff I'm listening to.
Yeah. So if you take the time of the day with the music you listen to, with writing and social media, how do you divide these things up? I mean, is there one that gets more attention than the other? Or are you pretty equal? And what else do you do for fun?
I do a little bit of everything. I feel like this consumes my life and I really don't have much time for myself anymore because when I'm doing something that I like, I feel guilty that I'm not doing something that I should be doing. But the truth is that if I don't, I'm going to lose my mind and I'm going to not, I need to be a person too. So for fun, I love reading. I'm a big reader. I read a lot of fantasy, dystopian, adult romance novels. I read a lot of that. And then I also love horseback riding. I'm a big equestrian fan. So I have ridden horses like my whole life. So I'm a big backcountry like horse fan. It's very random, but that, and I snowboard. So I do all that. I do like those three things sprinkled out and it makes me feel better.
Do you have like a set time where you say, I'm going to play my guitar, I'm going to write, I'm going to work, or is it just whenever?
No, it's whenever, but it's like, you know, songwriting has not been so like, it hasn't flowed as well recently because of how busy I've been online, but I'm getting back into that because I want to release another song in like a month or two.
But you don't have the song yet.
I do, actually. I have so many songs that have not even been put out. We just need to record them. So it's like, I'm getting on that, but I'm also going to get on my writing because I really want to just put more stuff out into the world.
Do you have anyone that you go to like test your songs? All like your manager or producer or family? Is your family supportive?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I just don't test it on them because I'm very private. So I only share it with like, I don't really test songs. They test it. I don't know. And I don't know who they test it with. I don't want to know. Don't tell me anything. So
you don't have any friends that you can call up and say, hey, I got a new song. You want to hear it?
Of course.
It?
I do. I just don't. I sometimes I'll tell my boyfriend, you can listen to it, but I'm extremely private and closed off. I do not show people stuff until it's out.
Is your significant other a musician also?
No, he's not. And on purpose, because I don't date musicians. I don't like them.
Probably smart.
It is. Yeah. He does everything that I like doing outside of music. So like, he's like an expert snowboarder. And also like, I have always been into motorcycles and riding motorcycles, and I'm like getting my license soon. So he's a motorcycle rider.
You waited to get your license because you're like 21, right?
22. I waited because I want to find the right places and the right time to do it. And where I live, the canyons are great. And I just want to keep it out in the canyon area so I don't ride on the freeway. And I'm like eliminating every chance that I can that I don't get killed on the freeway. So I more so want to do it like out where it's safer. And I'm waiting because it's also expensive. Like, you have to have money for a bike. You have to have money for the classes. They're expensive. So, you know,
my favorite, you know, when if you want to just go for a ride, you know, I like, you know, just to check everything out, like Ventura Boulevard or Sunset. But there's nothing better than Topanga Canyon.
Yeah.
I was just in LA last September, and every time I go out there, I got to drive down the canyon. Plus, you said the canyons. Do you mean like Laurel Canyon and Cole?
No. Like out past Agoura in Malibu Canyons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Weren't there a lot of fires out there not too long ago in Malibu Canyon?
No, not that much. It's been raining a lot. So it's beautiful. It's so pretty and it looks so good. And like, I've been wanting, that's an accomplishment. I want to get my license this year. And I want to hopefully get a bike at some point soon. But like my, you know, my boyfriend is a really good rider. So we'll do like all of that stuff together and, you know, a couple other things as well. So it's great. It's very expansive.
That's great. I love your enthusiasm. So yeah. What's your plan now? I mean, you said you're going to release a new song. Do you have like tour dates for the summer, the rest of the year, or are you going to just keep working on music? And what about Gibson? How do they play into the whole deal?
Well, I don't have any tour dates right now, which is kind of annoying because I really like to go on a tour and it's just hard. Again, it's like politics. It's like, you know, people have their own thing going on. So I'm trying to work on that. I'm going to be playing a lot of shows in the next couple months. I don't have anything planned for later in the year. I'm mostly just going to be releasing a ton of music and getting my sound out there. So that's kind of my goal, is to create more like universe of like Devin and like what I do.
Hollywood shows, you mean, primarily?
Yeah, and then I would like to get up the coast as well. Hopefully, that would be probably this fall. And hit some colleges up there as well. So that, you know, that went over well when I did that last time in New York. So I'm hoping to get back out of Nashville. I think I'll be back out there writing soon in probably June. I might play the Gibson Garage for Garage Fest again in June. That's my hope. I would love to go back to Nashville because I will be back there, but mostly writing, playing, hopefully a tour comes up at some point. Cause I'm primed and ready to play. Literally. I'm just like a well-oiled machine now.
Hey, thank you so much for coming back on and talking to me. I really love your music, and your enthusiasm about it is over the top. It's fantastic. It's funny how people keep saying you're dark and you describe yourself, but you're very uppity, you know, and it's
my thought processes and inside I am, and the things that I like are, but I have a very, I'm like my songs. I'm like my songs. So
cool. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Devin. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Like hell. Now you do.
I love that girl. I love you, but it hurts like hell. Devin Thompson. I have a really good feeling about Devin. She has it all. And having Gibson guitars behind you is not a bad thing at all. If you haven't already checked out her new EP, Skin, check it out. The music is fantastic. The songwriting's great. Devin Thompson's the real deal. All right. The real deal. All right. If you want to check out, if you want to reach out rather, please write to me at twistedrico@gmail.com. If you're a musician or songwriter and you have music, please send it. Also, we have Instagram, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, where you can actually watch the Zoom interview I did with Devin Thompson. And there's also a TikTok page at Twisted Rico, where you can watch clips from the show and other goofy stuff that I post. I try and post live clips of bands that I see because they seem to get the most popularity. And I want our TikTok page to be popular. Please, please. All right. Also, this is what I really want. Please consider supporting this podcast on our Patreon page, patreon.com/TwistedRico. It's only $1. That, you know, if you $1 a month, come on, man, that's $12 a year. And I'm going to give you at least 6 to 8 episodes a month, I'm thinking. So you're getting your money's worth. So please do more than $1 a month. All right. That's going to do it for this time. I always want more. Give me more and more and more. Till the next time we say goodbye, this is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. Keep the rock and roll alive.
Yes, this, hello, see, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I was calling to see how you were, and how you were feeling, and things of that nature, because yes, I was giving Keith Bennett's phone to call you and to relay good greetings and tidings from the both of us. So yes, this is Gilbert, and we're wishing you well on a Saturday, so, goodbye. Yeah.